Right now it is time for Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets. Jim, of course, is an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy, and many other subjects, bringing well over 40 years of experience to those subjects and more. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Lynch. Good morning, Jim.
And good morning to you, too.
Well, so it was a pretty horrible weekend. The Giants lost, the Yankees lost, and then last night the Jets didn't even show up.
Well, they did. What was worse is they did show up. The physical body took the field.
Did you watch the game at all, Jim?
Fortunately, no.
Okay, well, they had the Jet quarterback, Sam Darnold, mic'd up, all right? And he comes off the field, and this is the embarrassing part of this. He comes off the field, and you know what he says to his coach?
What?
I'm seeing ghosts out there. No, that's not the thing you want your star quarterback that you drafted 2 years ago to come off the sidelines and say, you're seeing ghosts out there.
You don't think he meant he's like,
it doesn't matter.
He has no receivers?
It means he was rattled. It means he was rattled.
Oh, okay.
And this is a guy who's going to lead you into your promised land, and he was rattled.
It's so interesting. He must have gotten a case of Trumpitis. Because if he had watched the president yesterday at his news conference in the Oval Office, he would have been rattled, as I think a lot of people were rattled. The president, I don't know if you saw that, but you should take a gander, at least for a couple of minutes. He went on and 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 on. But the disturbing thing was he would pose a question and then answer it himself. Now, there was a room of 30 to 50 people, and he kept posing questions and answering himself and then taking additional questions and answering himself. It was a pathetic display of a man out of control and a man who is a great danger to our country at this point. Along those lines, we all know that we are abandoning the Kurds, our allies. And during this conference, he said, well, you know, we never guaranteed to take care of the Kurds forever. He had some other dissembling comments like that. But moving forward, our policy in the Middle East now is so disoriented, it is very, very difficult to follow. Okay, we're getting out of Syria. And then the next thing was, okay, we're going to put 200 people up to guard the oil. Forget about lives. We're just going to guard the oil. Now, that may or may not be happening. And then this morning, after he had said yesterday, well, we're going to send these troops, we're not going to send them home, as I said in Dallas. We're sending the troops home. And during the news conference, he was joyous that the Dallas people applauded that. Now he's trying to send them to Iraq. Well, unfortunately, this morning, Iraq said, no, you can't bring those soldiers here. And the reason being, the Iraqi government has been in touch with officials of our government, and they've been complaining that they are being put at greater risk having more Americans in this particular area of Iraq because the ISIS are very nearby, and they don't want to see a conflict. So we are probably I hope not, of course, but we are probably in the process of renewing a more wholesale problem in the Middle East, with Iraq being part of it, the Iranians probably reinforcing the people they have there already, and ISIS definitely resurging. So out of a stupid phone call, we have now rekindled the beginning of more crisis in the Middle East. It is utterly, utterly shameless. And along those lines, to add stupidity to folly, Jared Kushner and Mnuchin have booked 45 rooms in Saudi Arabia for a conference. Now, how many people from America are going to attend a Saudi Arabia conference? Once again, the famous quid pro quo, whatever you want to call it, when apparently paying for rooms there after they've paid for rooms in Scotland, which they didn't occupy over the last several years. So it is a total mess again in the Middle East. continue to par your portfolio of stocks because the market seems to be quite oblivious to the consequences of what's going on. And I would say have more cash than not.
It's interesting to take a look at what happened with Turkey, especially after Donald Trump sent that letter. Even though Erdogan is a strong man and deserves a strong letter sent to him, the letter Trump sent to him. In this morning's news, it's reported that Erdogan, of course, he's in Russia, and now he's talking about nuclear weapons, because even though nobody admits it publicly, everybody knows that Israel has a nuclear weapon. It's just not talked about publicly. And now the next step is as Erdogan, what he talks about is that Israel has nobody to fear because nobody in the Middle East has a nuclear weapon yet to combat Israel. So he's going to Russia. So he's probably talking about that. So it's opened up other side doors. It's opened up Pandora's box, is what has happened here. Compare it to one of the big mistakes Barack Obama made as president was drawing that line in the sand, which he never observed. Okay, because once you're president, you draw a line in the sand. If you don't stick to that, it's a telling point. Well, this is exactly the opposite. This is saying there is no line in the sand. You can do whatever you want. If it pleases Russia and opens up the door for Russia to come into the Middle East, that's fine with me, is what the president basically was saying. And the ramifications that came and that are coming from that are just beginning. And they will continue to compound on top of one or one. Now, the 28 people that we moved, that we just moved them. We didn't take them out of the country. And the whole thing that Donald Trump has got to learn is he can't say he wants to bring the troops home when he puts 2,000 additional troops in Saudi Arabia on standby. To be quite honest with you, I'm all in favor of getting a lot of American troops out of the Middle East. I've always been a favor of that. I mean, we can't continually do war, perpetual war. I mean, what we did in Bosnia was people made fun of, but the limited troops that we have there stopped the cleansing, the ethnic cleansing in Bosnia. And yes, do we still have a limited amount of troops there? Yes, but they basically, over the past 25 years, have stopped the ethnic cleansing, which has been going on. In the Middle East, the troops that we have in the Middle East right now, except for the ones in Afghanistan, which I think there's thousands of troops in Afghanistan, but they're basically there as a buffer. That's what they're there for. They're a buffer. They're not doing fighting. They're there as a buffer to stop other countries from coming in. And if somebody kills one of our troops, you know, there's hell to pay. So, I mean, this is a subject that's going to be very interesting to see how it develops over the course of the next, I'll say 2 to 3 months. Because, first of all, the political situation in this country isn't just in this country. What's going on? You take a look at just about every major player in the world, and there's some sort of upheaval politically going on. And the Middle East, forget about it. There's just constant upheaval and change.
Because people are constantly...
But this is the one thing about if you have an America that has a standard foreign policy that doesn't change with every other day, it does make the world a slightly safer place. It does. It's complicated, but it does. Just like if you had a stable EU, it makes the world, to me, a better, safer place.
I understand. And unfortunately, the stability doesn't sell. I'm saying stability doesn't. So you can't do a news story about saying, "Hey, this position is this, or this position is this, or this position is this."
Well, you can't have a president that completely disavows and doesn't listen to his State Department. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
Not speaking to that at all. Yeah. But I'm speaking to a more general. You had just mentioned the EU.
Yeah, but I've included all of them in there. I mean,
right. So
I'm just saying you cannot change your position on a moment-to-moment basis and not include the diplomats that are out there or the Defense Department in the discussion. As President of the United States, you just it's not a wise thing to
do. Wasn't it the Defense Secretary who was out there saying that actually these people are being reallocated and these people are staying?
They weren't included in the. Don't argue with me. They weren't included in the initial decision.
I see.
Okay. They were bypassed, completely bypassed in the decision that he made. Completely bypassed. Caught the generals by surprise. Caught the armed services totally by surprise. None of them knew that was coming, and that was coming within 24 hours. None of them.
And this is the additional danger that we now have to deal with. The State Department is a shambles. The morale is terrible. People are coming forward to testify about this phone call in Ukraine. And the head of state, Pompeo, continues to disrespect his folks. Now, we have a president in disarray. We have the Secretary of State lying and not managing his people properly. We have so few significant helpers for the president, but those he doesn't even call upon as well, as you just said, Marshall. There's another thing now that has come forward, which we've seen, but things are happening so quickly, it's difficult to always focus on them and their possible import. But the major, major military people who are now retired and in various ways, like McCraven and Mathis, but particularly McCraven, they are making very, very negative comments about the president's running of this country. Now, those people are looked upon as leaders, even though they're not in the military. The military is already feeling a tremendous amount of discouragement over them leaving the Kurds who had defended us, them, in the fight on ISIS, and the Kurds are very successful at that. So morale is down in areas that are there to support the president, even though he doesn't call upon them. The military and the State Department, we are in a very, very dangerous position. And God forbid something happens where some of our people get killed over there now as they're transported from one place to another. You never know what's going to happen with the man who has got his finger on the trigger in terms of re-triggering a more significant war. So it's time to be careful in terms of your investing, but also it's time for you to pay more attention to what's going on and to be in touch with the people who represent you in the Congress and the Senate. Now, of great significance is Nancy Pelosi has been over in Afghanistan and in Jordan reassuring those allies that we're with you. And I think particularly in Jordan, letting them know, because they're so close to the situation, Syrians and Israel, that we're with them and we want them to be with us. I think it would be beautiful if the Israelis and the Jordanians, lots of luck on this one, but at least one, if not both of them, got together and gave air cover to the Kurds versus the Turks. It can be done successfully. It doesn't have to be a lot of fighting. It just has to be, as we've been a barrier to the Turks killing Kurds. We've done that with air power. We've done it with the threat of air power as well as military. It's been more the air power. And the Jordanians and the Israelis do have air forces that are very, very competent. So I would hope that a Nancy Pelosi, for instance, might have given the Jordanians some ideas on what to do. Now, in Israel, we now have the problem, and it all seems to be coming at once, where Netanyahu was not able to form a government, so somebody is going to be selected to form the government. Now, what does that mean? I don't know what it means. It just adds to the confusion in the Middle East and adds to the possibility of something sparking a problem. So write your congressmen and senators, pay attention to the news, and now more than ever before, really get updated on those people who are running, not just for president, probably more significantly for Senate and certainly the House.
You know, sitting here listening to this, Jim, I want people to understand, I do not diminish any president's powers, okay? I do not. You're the executive, you're the chief executive officer of this country. What I see and what's causing the problems is that other factions from within our government, which represent the true greatness of our government, which is the separation of powers, the Congress, the Senate, the judiciary. You even have a civilian who's appointed to head the Joint Chiefs. You've got the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the Defense Department. So the Defense Department is now, once again, headed up by a civilian. All these equal branches of government are not being utilized. I guess I wouldn't feel as bad about this if everybody got together in a room, they discussed it out, and then the president said to them all before he did something, thank you for your input. Let me think about this. Bring them all back in the next day and say, here's what I've decided. At least they all have an idea. The State Department, the Defense Department, the Senate, the House. They all have an idea. Okay, so we know in advance. This isn't a surprise. This makes our country look stronger, that democracy does work, that yes, we hashed things out, the president didn't agree, and he's going to go this way. That's not happening. And that's the dangerous part of what's not happening in this country. It's not that the decision is made, because a president has a right to make a certain decision, but it's not following through with the proper procedure to keep everybody informed, to take ideas, to take briefings, and then inform all these people before you make a decision on Twitter. This government was never designed for decision by Twitter. Never.
Well, you've stated it. You've stated it well. And I don't know how we get the horse back in the barn. We have a man who is on television. He is displaying an irrationality which is indicative of the way he makes these rash decisions. And the impeachment process is moving along slowly but surely. We need the president to step down, okay? We can't afford... You've said it well. The president has the power to do this and so forth and so on. That is the problem. He does have the power, but he is not of sane mind. And one of his problems is he's always been driven by self-interest. And his self-interest is caught up as he's tried to steal money from the citizens of this country by basically subsidizing his children going all around the world, subsidizing his own hotel in Washington, and God knows where else. And in the process, he's diminishing the confidence of the people who are there to serve him because he's not even listening to them. It's not quite tragic, but boy, we have some big, big problems.
It's a tough situation, and unfortunately, guess what?
Don't tell me.
We're out of time.
Jesus, good.
Oh, if all only right. We could just run out of time on the situation, you know? Wouldn't that be the perfect ending? He's like, sorry, folks, you're out of time in the Middle East.
This is like we've written a made-for-radio production. And folks, hang on. You'll join us next week, and we'll give you the
next...
For
another episode. Does anyone remember Soap? Confused? Yeah. You won't be after the next episode of...
Well... It's been fun.
Okay, Jim.
Always a pleasure. Go Jets.
Okay, yeah, go Jets.
Go anybody.
Marshall and I can put on a helmet and do a little better.
I'm pretty sure you could.
Okay, Jim, take care.
All right. Have a great day. Yeah. See you. Bye-bye.
Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets this morning here on Robin Hood Radio. And a reminder, all the opinions given on Cover Your Assets are those of the people that give them, not necessarily representing Robin Hood Radio, Tri-State Public Communications, its employees, its volunteers.
Donors.
Its underwriters or its donors, okay?
Except for the bit about the Jets, right?